Welcome to the Kaufman Show is how I would greet you if I was a Leafs fan.
But I'm not. So, hey, welcome back to the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave. This is Jay, and we're here to have some fun. What's going on?
Looks like they're having some fun in the streets of Toronto right now.
Well, yeah, there's a TV on in the TSN 690 studio right now, and it is showing some... It's what looks like the start of a very bad riot. I mean, we have to speak as experts in this town, and we know how to do things right.
I can tell how the mood is going. See, the crowd's just standing around looking now and waiting for that one guy to break the ice.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what's happening right now, and it might get a little bit worse as we go on. This is what happens,
what?
Toronto, when you put thousands of people in the middle of the city...
No,
with a big screen.
Not necessarily.
Yes, it is.
Why? We have a jazz fest every year.
Serving beer.
They don't riot over Stevie Wonder.
Well, they're not watching hockey.
Were they serving beer in Maple Leaf
Square?
Of course
they were. I'm sure they were.
I am not so sure. This is
there wouldn't be thousands of people there if they weren't serving beer,
this
Kaufman.
This is Toronto the good, Jay.
Yeah.
This is not Montreal. This is Toronto the good.
I'm telling you. And
I'd
if for anybody who says, oh, it's not the hockey fans who riot, it's not Canadians. It is. I'm telling you.
Well, it's not the sober hockey fans who riot, that's for
that's
sure.
It's got nothing to do with hockey fans or people who wait for this kind of stuff, anarchists or whatever you think it is.
It is social.
It's called alcohol.
Social lubrication.
It's called alcohol, okay? There's plenty of people in Leaf jerseys and Canadians jerseys and Canucks jerseys that are burning police cars, turning them over, beating cops.
Well, maybe not right now, they're not.
No, but it's happened. So don't tell me these are not the hockey fans. That's the stupidest thing you can say.
If there's a Habs fan out in the street right now burning a cop car in a jersey, Habs jersey, he is in a lot of trouble.
He's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and he's totally spaced on the
and
date.
He's totally, yeah. and he's getting caught.
Yes. Yes, and how. But we'll see how this plays out in Toronto. I hope that doesn't become the big story tomorrow morning that, you know, the city of York was burned down by the Americans once again.
Yeah.
I hope that's not
what?
The case.
Why would the Americans come?
Well, the last time Toronto was burnt to the ground.
Yes, I'm aware of the historical reference. Well, I know, but there's no Americans.
None?
Well, I'm sure there's a couple.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Maybe they'll come up from Buffalo, like in that John Candy movie.
Yeah.
All right.
This is what you get when you put 1,000 people.
1,000.
More than that.
I'm going to say 20.
Thousands, yeah. Thousands of people all there. And you start shooting off confetti every time they score. And listen.
Were we laughing about that on the show last week?
Yeah.
I think so. That was great.
We were. And you know what? I've had some mixed emotions about this whole thing. So.
Oh, no. Are you a torn?
I never rooted for a team from the beginning. I don't care either way. I just want to see some good hockey. And I did tonight, by the way. That was a great game. Referees let them play. Awesome game. But at the same time, at first I was thinking, oh, you know what? Go Toronto. It'd be nice to see. You know, I feel bad for Toronto fans. It's been a long time since they've been waiting. Then I saw them all gathered in the square and shooting off confetti on the first goal.
Jay, how is it any different in Montreal a couple of
years
ago?
That's what I'm getting to.
There's no difference when thousands of Habs fans run down for a fan jam.
That's what I'm getting to. And then I'm thinking, if we weren't in the playoffs in 9 years and we haven't won a Stanley Cup in 45,
we'd go crazy.
It'd be worse. It'd be worse.
And you saw it at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
10 years ago when the Bartman era of the Cubs.
That's it.
On Waveland Avenue, it was packed with Cubs fans during the playoffs games. People want to be close to the action.
And that's what I'm telling Canadian fans. My lesson learned in the end is don't laugh at them, because this is a new NHL you're watching. And it's very, very likely. I'm not even going to say possible. I'm going to say it's very likely that you may not see a Stanley Cup here in 20, 30, 40 years.
Don't laugh at the team.
The Cubs haven't seen a championship in 107 years.
That's right. That's right. Cathal Kelly, the Toronto Star writer, just tweeted that Toronto riots, according to the CBC, quote, pulling tails and slapping the rumps of police horses. The city can't even riot, right? Lay off the horses, people.
Why are they hitting
not
the horses?
Not cool.
You're going to hit the horses.
Not cool. I remember that being the big thing during the student protests in Montreal. Anytime a horse was just even touched, everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
This is not the horses' fight. Do not get the horses involved. And you really don't want to take on a horse.
Student protest is different. It's a whole different set of beliefs. They're a bunch of tree huggers.
No,
and
it
anarchists.
Doesn't matter. Regardless, you don't.
No, but I'd say these are hockey fans. They don't care about horses.
Well,
leave the horses alone. Hitting a horse.
It's insane.
I hope the horse turns around and just tramples
it. That's it. Exactly.
Just like a back kick and just a blue jersey flying across the city.
Oh,
I shouldn't have hit the horse.
<Ooh. laughs> What an interesting night, Jay. That was for the Leafs to get that close to the next round. And, you know, there were a lot of moments in this series where, as a Habs fan, I felt great conflict. Did not know who to cheer for. Felt very dirty cheering for either team. I think we can say, I think, at least I'll speak for myself. I don't want to speak for the rest of the city. But I think it's obvious that the Montreal Canadiens have a much deeper, nastier rivalry right now with the Boston Bruins.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it felt a lot easier to cheer for the Leafs. And frankly, the Leafs were very fun to watch the last few games. To watch them make a stand where the Habs couldn't. That said a lot. And I hope that I hope Brian Burke's in Southern California smiling right now. Because he's as much a part of this as anybody else.
Mm-hmm. They have nothing to be ashamed of. They played a hell of a series. And they really took it to the Bruins. But wow, 10 minutes left, man. God, I couldn't believe it. You know, and I said, I know it's 4-0 or 4-1, but, you know, it's going to, I tweeted it. I said, it's going to be the longest 10 minutes of your life, Leaf fans. You're not used to this yet, but it's going to be the longest 10 minutes of your life. And I kind of regret saying it. It seems like I put the jinx on him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was all you. It was all you.
In sports, I believe in phantasm and witchcraft.
But only in sports. Not voodoo, right? That's crazy.
Oh, well.
Just phantasm and witchcraft.
If I had some dolls, I wouldn't say I might not put some pins into them. I'm not saying I wouldn't.
I want to we'll get right back to this in a second, but I want to tell everybody about this great show we have ahead tonight on the Kaufman Show. In a few minutes' time, we will speak with Matthew Ross.
Who?
Matthew Ross.
Awesome.
TSN Matthew on Twitter. Matthew is the host of Game Points on TSN 690 in Montreal, Tuesdays and Sunday nights. He's also El Jefe, the chief of Expos Nation. We're going to talk to Matt about his Montreal Gazette article about the Can-Am game that was in Montreal this weekend. He's got an early morning, so we won't keep him on too long, but we'll give a little plug for this July 20th Expos Fest that we're going to be having at the Sky Dome in Toronto. They still call it the Sky Dome, right?
No, I believe it's now called the Rogers Centre.
They still call it Toronto, right?
Well, we'll see after tonight.
All right, I'm one for two.
Might be calling it Montreal tonight.
We'll also speak with Evan Wansborough from the Isotopes. You know, the Isotopes, the only baseball punk rock band out there. They're coming to Montreal this weekend. They'll be playing at the Pooza Fest, which is the Montreal Punk Rock Festival. They'll be playing a midnight show
on... The Pooza Fest?
Pooza Fest. P-O-U-Z-Z-A.
The Pooza Fest.
Pooza Fest. If you say it more and more, it sounds more and more plausible, I promise you. I'm not making this up.
There are so many variations...
On the Pooza Fest?
On that word that Pooza? I could do right now.
It's 11 o'clock at night,
no,
by all means.
No, it's not late enough, my friend.
Okay. In about an hour's time, we'll be joined by Michael Engels. You might know his brother from his hockey blogging prowess. But Michael will join us in studio to talk about a really cool charity initiative to do with cycling. Basically, he's going to cycle with a group to raise money for a really incredible charity from the bottom of Israel to the top of Israel. Which, you know, doesn't look like much on a map, but that's like 600 kilometers. It's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, it's a small country when you're looking at it on
a
map.
It's still a country.
Yeah.
It's still a country.
Yeah. I couldn't do from the top of Vatican City to the bottom of Vatican City. So
I don't know if I can
never
do
mind Israel.
I don't know if I could do from the top of Vendome Avenue to the bottom of Vendome
Avenue.
There
you go.
Well, we'll also be joined by Torben Rolfsson, the Vancouver sports comedian. Maybe a special guest towards the end of the show, but it's going to be a big night. We have not heard from Matthew Ross yet, so why don't we give him a call? I'll pass you his number.
He just tweeted he was coming out.
Here we go. His number's right here.
We have to call him.
That's okay.
Yeah,
he's important.
Yeah, wait till he gets on.
Well, you know what, Jay? We have 6 minutes with him. Let's make it nice.
We'll make it nice,
okay?
You know how I feel about my time with Ross.
I know how you feel about your time with Ross, but
love
our time
the guy.
Tonight is limited.
I love the guy.
I'm thinking you could, why don't you call into his show tomorrow night and give him...
He doesn't allow me anymore. I'm not allowed. I've been barred.
Just, I don't know. You can do a fake voice, right? You could be like...
Kay. I'll be Simon.
There you go.
He'll think Simon's on.
You'd be Simon Salikas.
Matthew.
Bro. Is that it?
No, he doesn't say bro.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
He made it very clear to me.
Yes,
he says brah. He says brah.
All right, let's bring in our next guest. He is the host of Game Points. He's also, I can't say enough about what he's done to help bring back the spirit of the Expos to the city through the Expos Nation Facebook page and the Expos Nation Twitter account. And we're going to talk a little bit about baseball in Montreal, which is a thing we like to do on the Kaufman Show. Matthew Ross, welcome to the show.
Hey, How you doing?
Good.
First time, long time listener, first time appearer.
I think you have been on once before. I have a vague memory of having you on around when Dave Van Horn was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can I say? It's long overdue anyways. It's been too long. And you had a fantastic article in the Gazette about the Montreal Can-Am League. What was it called? The Montreal Classic, right?
The Quebec Classic.
Oh, pardonnez-moi. The Quebec Classic, but it was in Montreal between Trois-Rivières and Quebec at Gary Carter Park in Hunsick. And yeah. Baseball was back. You could actually pay money to watch baseball this weekend in Montreal.
Yeah, the attendance was just over 1,200, the final tally, and probably should have sat only 600 people. So you can, it was a little cramped.
And awesome. It was cold.
Yeah.
It was freaking cold, yeah. Man. God. I ordered like 3 hot chocolates. It was brutal.
Yeah, they got to test us, don't they?
Oh, man.
But the crowd came out, and people were into it, and it seems that there's a lot of really good buzz on the heels of this, Matt.
Yeah, it was pretty much put on by Baseball Quebec, a guy by the name of Max LaMarche, who former employee, actually, of the Capitale, and he basically was the driving force between getting these two teams together and maybe starting up a little rivalry. It was the first ever game, exhibition game, for the Trois-Rivières Aigle. And they were victorious, but nobody really, you know, cares about the exhibition. It was all about just bringing baseball back, and it was such a great atmosphere to have, especially Jacques Doucette was on hand and, you know, singing the national anthem. Well, he didn't sing it, but, it was a lot of fun. Kids in, you know, Little League uniforms getting autographs, and, it was a very festive atmosphere.
Now, because of where it was in the city, I'd imagine that it was a predominantly Francophone crowd, right?
Yeah, you know, it was hard to find people speaking English at all in the crowd, but I don't really think...
I think that's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, there was a lot of interesting people I had a chance to speak with. There's an all-French magazine for baseball in Quebec called Au Monticule, which, is, of course, means on the mound, and they're now thinking about doing it in English as well, and just a lot of great, nice vibe in the area in terms of just people talking baseball in general, no language debates or anything like that. I mean, this is the home that park to the Montreal Orioles. So, you know, it's in a Hunsick, but they're called the Orioles. You know, they could have called the team a French name. So, you know, they're speaking baseball, the language of baseball.
Oh, yeah. And when I brought it up, I didn't mean it to turn into a you know, an office de la langue française question, Matt. I think that a lot of people have a misconception on the English side of town that Francophones aren't as interested in baseball as Anglophones are. And I think that that's a complete misnomer that needs to be eliminated as quickly as possible.
You know, I've learned that from the big Facebook page, you know, 155,000 fans of Montreal Expos. And I'll tell you, about half of them are from Quebec. And a lot of them are French. Most of the people that respond, I would say 60-65% of the people that comment and hit the like button are actually of the Francophone variety. So it's nice to see. It's nice to be sort of get that... that reassurance that the fans are local.
It's not only nice to see, it's necessary.
Right.
It's necessary. If we're going to get a team back in this town, you got to have the Francophone population behind it.
Anglo-Montreal is kind of the size of Kingston, so...
And it's important, too, to see for the corporations to see that, right? That the Francophones are interested in coming out to see baseball, and that's what you saw. And as I mentioned in the article yet today in the paper, you know, the fans were there about an hour before to see batting practice. I mean, just being around a cage, seeing the kids in the outfield trying to catch the balls from these professional players. I mean, some of them had played single, double A in minor league baseball. Some of them will get a sniff again in some of the big leagues. And it was just a great, fun night. And unfortunately, it's, you know, maybe it'll become an annual thing. But they've been looking for years, the Can-Am League, at trying to get a team in somewhere off the island. But you need a stadium for that. And it kind of goes against the, oh, we're a Major League Baseball town mentality that some people have. And, you know, if you didn't go last night or Saturday night and you've never been to a minor league town game, whether it was in Ottawa when the Lynx were there or somewhere in Vermont or something like that, then you don't get it. You don't appreciate it. And I think both could coexist in the area, in the Montreal area or just off the island. And I hope that both are able to come back.
Wouldn't it be nice, Matt, if one day there was an embarrassment of riches?
Well, I mean, you know, it's you see that for hockey, you see it for some of the other sports in some of the other cities. And just there's no reason why it couldn't happen here with the size of the city. But I've always maintained, and you and I talked about this earlier today, off air, that if a kid doesn't learn baseball before the age of 12, then I don't think they're picking it up when they're 30. And it's all about giving the kids a chance to see something. Jay, I know you played a pretty high caliber, and I would think you'd agree, right?
You have to
pick it up as a kid.
100%. It's funny that you say that, because I started playing baseball when I was about 7 years old, 6, 7 years old. I've been playing ever since. I think this is like my 30th season in a row of actually playing in some sort of league. And
God, you're old.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. See, I told you he's gonna get on me.
You're right,
I told you. I was playing junior baseball when I was about 16, 17. I was able to go directly into major junior football without ever playing organized football in my entire life. Now, I'm not saying that baseball is a better sport than football, but there is a skill set that's involved, and there's a technique that's involved. You are not going to be able to see a ball coming at you unless it is ingrained in your head, unless it becomes a reflex. So you're absolutely right when you say that.
Yeah, it's just amazing to be around some of the players that have the passion for the game. A lot of them had played in the Quebec Elite League, a few years ago. Even the managers, both managers from that game, Three Rivers and Quebec City managers, had played in the Elite League, including Pierre-Luc Lafaurie of the Aigle, who spent 8 years in the Rays organization. So I'm actually inspired now to go out and check out a game in Three Rivers this year. And it's only about 90 minutes, 80 to 90 minutes away. And I think a lot of people should check it out, and maybe it'll sort of continue to build that passion here in the city.
In advance of the season, which is, I know, starting soon in Trois-Rivières, but another thing that people can do, Matthew, that will get people on that Expos bandwagon is to sign up for this trip on the 20th of July.
Yeah, www.exposnation.com. You can click on one of the articles there. It gives you all the information about our trip. Again, as Dave's been very helpful in some of the aspects of organizing this trip. And basically what we're trying to do is just make a statement to the baseball world, both the media and also Major League Baseball, as well as corporate Canada, that there is a fan base here, a passionate fan base in Montreal, and we're trying to go out and prove it. And I think we will. I think we'll have a few hundred people come into the game. In fact, I already know that we will have a few hundred and several big personalities involved in that crowd. You can go to exposnation.com. You'll be able to get information on how you can be a part of the VA Rail train that's going down there for the game, a special rate. And also, if you go to bluejays.com/expos, you'll ensure that your tickets are bought, and you'll be able to sit in that section with the likes of Jay Farrar.
Wow.
That's what he meant when he said big stars.
I'm going to go.
You're going already.
Now you got me. You know, I was thinking about, I was kind of on the fence, but now you've got my attention.
Matthew, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. We appreciate all you do, and keep doing it, man, and you'll continue to have our support.
Thanks a lot, and Topes win. Topes win.
Topes win. Topes win. The Topes win a game. The Topes win a game. Matthew Ross, TSN Matthew on Twitter. Follow him also at Expos Nation. Let's see you all July 20th in Toronto. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. I remember tears at the kid's last game. Stood right behind him as the anthem played. Now my homemade signs got his autograph name on the newspaper cover, first rush with fame. I remember singing Valdery, Valderraw, 03 wild card race, last hurrah. I remember Vlad 40-40 in the call, they got wrong. The game against the Braves, Cliff Floyd going long. Still missing Montreal ball 6 years on. Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. He's Christmas flying.
A very happy birthday to a good friend of the show, Mr. Anakin Slade.
Happy birthday, bro. All the best.
And this one's for Britt, Larry, Walking the Rock. And this one's for El Presidente, Moe and O'Care. And this one's for Spaceman, Crow and Vlad. And most of all, this one's for us. The fans are stuck with the team when the times are tough. Singing.
You're listening to The Kauffman Show with Dave Kauffman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Little fast all day, every night, oh yeah. She Lipstick coat red, everything's all right. French chicks insist on a Saturday night. The ladies of Montreal smoke dope, drink wine in their underwear. Those West Coast girls say it isn't fair. The ladies of Montreal.
Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show right here on TSN 690. I'm at The Kaufman Show on Twitter. My co-host, Jay Farrar, can be reached at J-Pub Radio. This is the Ladies of Montreal, the Bedini Band.
Where?
The girls, they look like either Jean-Pierre Foucault, Carol Lore, or Jessica Perret. Hey.
Oh, Jessica Perret, one day. One day, Don Draper will treat you right. I promise. Just wait. It'll happen. He's got to turn around at some time, right? I mean, a man in the late 60s, that's you know, I mean, women were treated like gold back then.
Yes.
Poor Jessica Perret. Anyways, Jay, the ladies of Montreal will be not wearing winter jackets again next week, so fret not.
Okay. So this is about a week and a half there. I was getting excited.
I know.
And then it all went to hell, Kaufman.
Speaking of going to hell, was tonight the Motley Crue concert at the Bell Center?
It was.
Yeah. I drove by the Bell Center a little earlier and could not figure out exactly what had invaded, but it was definitely something
called,
from the 80s.
It's called all of Shamity, my friend. I just tweeted, I hope all my Shamity brothers and sisters enjoyed Motley Crue tonight, because I know you were all there.
Question for you, Jay.
Yeah.
You, is the umlaut on the O in Motley or on the U in Crew?
It's missing on both. It's on both.
Okay. And it's how do people know what that is?
What?
I mean, that could just be a Motley Crue.
Yeah, that would make it Motley Crue.
Motley Crue, exactly.
Motley.
I bought one of those at IKEA last week, I swear to God.
What?
A Motley Crue.
A Motley Crue album?
Motley Crue.
A Motley Crue.
Yeah. Motley Crue.
Yeah. Still haven't put it together, I'm sure.
Oh my God, what a pain in the ass.
Those Motley Crues are impossible.
I figured I'd sit down and watch a Leafs game and try and assemble it.
The Leafs.
The Leafs.
The Mooper Leafs.
I want to be one of the Purpley kids. Oh, man. We are half hurting for our friends in Toronto tonight and half
I never rooted against them except for that confetti stuff. That bothered me. But again, like you said, we wouldn't be any different here at all. I realized that in the end.
No, we are just as crazy, if not more.
Oh, yeah.
If not more.
Now, I was going to say we burn police cars when we win. I don't know why the rest of Canada only burns police cars when they lose.
I've never burned a police
car.
We
just
in
have
my
to
life.
Be different every time, don't
am I,
we?
Am I missing out on something? Has everybody in this town torched a cop car except for me?
No, but many have.
What, this is the days before closed captioning, all the little cameras on every store and street corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I commandeered a bus once.
You commandeered a bus?
That was fun. Actually, it was right around the corner from your pub.
You did? What did you do?
It was, I watched Canada win gold in Salt Lake 2002.
Okay. And
at
you,
McLean's
okay,
pub.
I remember that. Yeah.
And you weren't working there at that time.
No, but I was there.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was sitting with Steve Patterson and Steve Trainer.
At McLean's. Okay. Well, we were up top. There was probably a group of 12 or 13 of us in the back.
Okay.
And when the game ended, we all poured out onto the streets. The whole city poured out onto the streets.
Yes,
it was amazing.
That's right.
You would have thought the Leafs were in the second
round
of the playoffs.
Weren't you in Vancouver at the time?
That was in Vancouver. That was the Vancouver
What are you
playoffs.
Talking about?
Salt Lake City 2002.
Oh, my God. No, I wasn't there.
Okay. Well, I was. I was at your bar a long time ago.
Right.
But ran out onto St. Catherine Street, and it was jubilation, man. It was nuts. The people were going crazy.
That was
and
one of the
suddenly,
first.
Suddenly, this bus, the 15 coming down St. Catherine Street. And the driver just went, forget it, took her keys.
I remember that.
And just walked outside. And, there was some dancing on top of the bus. There was some good old-fashioned revelry. Unfortunately, somebody thought it was wise to go into the bus and take the fire extinguisher and start hosing everybody down with
it. Of course somebody did.
So I got,
why wouldn't they?
I got extinguished without getting torched that night.
Okay.
Might have been a little torched, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, At least there was a fire extinguisher if one of the police cars caught fire.
That's right. That's right. 514-790-1690. 514-790-1690. If you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. We're going to speak with Evan Wandsboro from the Isotopes in a few minutes. But first, let's go to Jerry in NDG. Good evening, Jerry.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Tonight's a good night for us in Montreal.
Is it that simple?
Yes, it's a good night because the Leafs lost.
Yeah, but the Bruins won.
You know what? If I had my choice, I'm kind of a miffed because when I lived in, you know, when I lived in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
We had the hockey thing, and we looked forward to hockey night in Canada and watched hockey night in Canada, and my wife and I would say, there they go again. Hockey night in Canada might as well be called Hockey Night in Toronto, because there's no question that Hockey Night in Canada's team are the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, when the Montreal Canadiens are no longer in the playoffs, I don't think it's a question. But Toronto is the center of the universe, right? So shouldn't they be accorded the same respect?
And no, but sometimes, you know, Don Cherry.
Big sigh from Jay Farrar on that comment. Big sigh. Everything but the exaggerated eye roll.
Because Don Cherry. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but sometimes he's a fan of the Bruins.
Yeah, well, he coached them, but he kept saying the words "we" tonight. Yeah.
And even on,
but he's not ashamed of it though. He admits that he's a Leaf fan. He says it all the time. I go for Toronto, yeah. So there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not like this guy's sitting on the fence about everything anyway.
Jerry, one second. We also got to hear the line tonight from Donald S. Cherry. I have not fallen off the turnip truck. Which made me laugh. Oh, that hit me in such a happy little spot.
There's thousands of people everywhere going, what the hell's a turnip truck?
The problem is also, you got guys like PJ Stock who keep attacking the Canadians.
Yeah, well, there's your proof that it's not a Toronto Sports Network, because PJ Stock is a Montreal boy.
That I know, but he's becoming like a Toronto boy.
You see, but that's... I don't know how to... Look, I'm not a huge fan of what PJ Stock brings to Hockey Night in Canada.
No, I'm not either.
But... obviously, in the same way that Don Cherry continues to be employed, people watch. And you know what? Did you watch Don Cherry tonight?
Nope.
I watched him. Jay, did you?
Yes, but I wasn't paying attention.
Well, that's par for the course,
I'd say. It was on TV and something, I don't know what happened. I don't know.
I want to know.
I was watching kittens play on YouTube or something. Yeah.
You're so adorable.
Yeah.
I want to know what Don Cherry's going to say. Well, no, but I think that's part of the appeal. It's that Howard Cosell was both the most loved and the most hated.
That's true.
Don Cherry won the 7th greatest Canadian ahead of the guy that discovered insulin.
Listen, it's very clear that everybody wants to hear what Don Cherry says. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on the air right now. When I'm at the pub, you know, we have a tendency usually that we throw music back on during the intermissions, during the game.
Yeah, but not for him, right?
For him, if we throw the music back on, you'll get 1,000 people going, hey, turn it back off. And everybody is listening intently to everything this man has to say.
Imagine if that bar wasn't in the province of Quebec.
Yeah. Well, they're just waiting for him. What's he going to say about us now?
Jerry, thanks so much for the call, man. We'll speak to you soon. Yeah.
You know what? Hockey night.
That's great.
Hockey night in Canada.
It's so funny, though. But there you go. I went on this whole thing about how the Bruins are our natural rival. And the Leafs are kind of like the little kid that's now at the adults' table. It's a different feeling.
Yeah.
Jerry, who is a little bit more experienced than I am.
Yes.
Has a different feeling because he remembers when the Leafs and the Habs meant something.
Yeah.
But it's been so long since it meant something.
It also, Hockey Night in Canada has changed. You know, even from 10 years ago.
Of course it has.
They broadcast every single Montreal Canadiens game.
Yes, they do.
Even if it's just localized.
And the guy that everybody used to think was Mr. Maple Leafs is the guy who calls the Habs games now.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, Bob Cole, Habs fan.
Yeah.
He's a Habs fan. People don't know that, but he is.
I think this is the only show in the city you can listen to where you actually get that information.
Well, yeah.
It's I know. We know. Yeah. We know.
I have my sources.
Yeah.
Dave.
We've been hearing the Hockey Night in Canada guys say it
for
long enough that we know that Bob Cole is a Habs fan. Why would they tell us repeatedly if he wasn't? Let's go back to the phones. We've got Andrew in Montebello. Good evening, Chef.
Hey, guys.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're great, man.
Was listening to the game. No, actually, I was at work and got a little break, so I'll go to the car because I wasn't getting the game from you guys. So I'm here listening to the game from Ottawa feed. And
You know, it was on the if you have the TSN app, it was on the Toronto. It was on TSN 1050 tonight.
Dude, I don't use apps.
Fair enough.
I'm okay. An old dude. I'm
good man.
An app used to be an apartment for me, and I'm sorry, it doesn't do much for me.
That's an APT. That's not an APP.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yes.
See, I never got
it's the subtle differences in life, Chef.
Yeah, well, that's it. So I hear, I hear it's 4-1. I said, well, okay, I'm happy for them. Yeah, they deserve it. They played well. They beat the Bruins, fair and square.
This yeah.
Then I hear 4-2. Then I hear 4-3, and I said, no, come on. They're not going to screw this up. There's no way in hell they're going to lose this game. Then I start thinking, wow, wouldn't that be cool to see? Just see going overtime, and maybe they'll win it in overtime, but just see people in Toronto sort of shake a little bit. Because, listen, I'm sorry, and it's not against Nishan's lawyer. It's everybody from Toronto. Ever since the Blue Jays didn't give us a hand way back when we actually needed it to save the Expos, and it's a long story in a day.
Did you actually think that the Blue Jays were going to come in and be the white knight to save the Expos?
No, but they didn't help.
What? Imagine if they did, we'd never hear the end of it.
It might have not have been worth
it. Yeah, it's actually worth losing the Expos that Toronto didn't come and help us out.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Last thing I want is their hand, believe me.
But, which is the argument as to why Montreal can't be the AAA franchise for the Toronto Blue
Jays. Right, that's another thing.
Wow.
That's it. That'll never happen.
The Montreal subservience.
Wouldn't that be fun? But I doubt that it'll ever happen. But just to get back to the game quickly, and it was just, seriously, when it happened and they lost, I felt bad for them. I mean, jeez.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
But I got over it really quickly.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you're not a fan. It you know, it only stings momentarily. It's like, oh, poor them.
Because it's just going to be the bounce and the way that the CBC, obviously, is going to run around this and work around this and make it out to a little happy-go-lucky story that, oh, unfortunately, we just saw. Because, I mean, basically, you know, and Don Cherry is Don Cherry. I mean, we're making money off of him. We're paying for him. But I guess we are making money because if we weren't, I doubt that he would still be on the airwaves.
For sure. That's a very good point. It's not that, because the easy thing to say when you see him on TV in his ridiculous attire is, our tax dollars paid for that suit, and our tax dollars pay for him, and the CBC could hire 20 more journalists to get rid of him. But you're right, Andrew.
Yep. I mean,
money is being made off of that person.
And until people realize that, well.
Person was a late insert there, Jay.
There you go.
Yeah, I noticed a peculiar pause right before you referred to him as a human being.
I was going
to
go with blowhard.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's one you can't really debate. Even if you're on his side, like, the dude's a blowhard.
Exactly. But to change subjects very quickly, love when you have Matthew Ross on. I know you don't have him on often. I actually, when I listen to him sometimes, you guys have the same similar voice when you're on the air. And you're both talking the same sense. And it's something I really like to hear. Unfortunately, this game in Toronto is always going to be a weekend game.
Yeah, it's a Saturday afternoon, I believe.
Yeah, well, screw that for people in the restaurant business. I mean, is your buddy going to be there, Jay? You going to be there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm going to go.
Wow, and you can get that time off. Well, I guess you are a manager then.
Yeah, well,
okay. Yeah.
They don't know yet, but I'm going.
It's not a slight to people in the restaurant business.
It's just when things are happening. It's just normal. We live through that all the time.
Our weekends are Sunday, Monday, or maybe even Monday, Tuesday. So it's not. We don't always have the chance to do the cool stuff.
But, Chef, if you can, there is a day trip option available.
Okay.
So if you were able to just take the day off, you could get on a train in Montreal at 6 o'clock in the morning, get to Toronto by noon, watch the ball game, and be back on a 5 o'clock train back to Montreal at 9 o'clock at night. So that option is there. If you don't want to turn it into a Toronto vacation, you can, you know, just show up, watch 9 innings, and then go home.
Do you think the other Blue Jays will ever come to Montreal to play a game?
I hope not.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, I hope not. Why? Why?
I hope they do.
I want to see Team Canada play Cuba in an exhibition game in
Montreal. No, nobody wants to see that. I want to see the Blue Jays here. As a test. Litmus.
No,
bring in Tampa and the Yankees. Show us the team that's going to be playing here. Don't make a bunch of.
It'll be easier for. If it's going to happen, it's going
to
be the Blue Jays.
Don't make a bunch of Montrealers cheer for the Blue Jays if they don't want to.
No,
and put them up against the Red Sox.
Okay, but the Blue Jays would never stand for that. The Blue Jays are never going to give up a home game. They'll give up a home game against Baltimore or Tampa. They're not going to give up a home game against the Red Sox or the Yankees. That's a guaranteed sellout at the Rogers Center.
Mm-hmm.
But you honestly don't think they would ever go down that road?
No, I don't see why. I think that's a sign of weakness. I think that the second that the Montreal Expos said, we're going to play 20 games in Puerto Rico, we knew that it was done here. And if the Blue Jays were to say, we're going to play one game, three games, doesn't matter, what's to stop it from being in Vancouver next year and Calgary the year after, and suddenly they are barnstorming across the country, which shows that they can't sell out the Rogers Center.
I don't think that.
It is such a sign of weakness.
No, but I think being Canada's only team and claiming to be Canada's team, well, now they've taken on the responsibility to play in other cities
if they really want
to promote it that
you
way.
You go and you tour.
Why not?
Because the Expos didn't go and play in other
so
cities.
So tour, do an exhibition game.
There you go.
The problem with that is that they're not going to play in a Hunsick where the Can-Am teams just played. And you can't play at the Olympic Stadium. You cannot play at the Olympic Stadium. I can't make this any more clear. People won't go. If they do go, they'll complain. The whole place smells like 30-year-old cigarettes and pee. It's just not the place to bring back Major League Baseball and show that Montrealers can support it. Not to mention the fact that all of the everything that says baseball, that had to do with baseball, that was at the Olympic Stadium, every base, the outfield walls, the foul pole, nets, everything is gone. It's in St. Mary's, Ontario, at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, waiting to be built into a stadium there.
You're just a downer tonight, aren't you, buddy?
Yeah.
It's my Leafs lost.
About a buzz killer.
Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry that I happen to have some information on this.
It's my job to be the buzz killer. What's your problem?
Jay.
Hey, listen, we brought...
You know, take me to a Hip concert, Jay. Bring me up.
Ah.
1 month, okay? We got the Hip in Montreal.
He's all right, Andrew. He's just...
I know, guys. Hey, listen, if you're really looking for a good show, there's going to be a great show in this crazy little tiny town of Montebello.
What's that?
It's the Montebello Rock Fest, Amnesia Rock Fest, and I think it's about its eighth or ninth year. Headliners, some crazy guy, Alice Cooper, who's that other crazy guy? Marilyn Manson, Blink is going to be here, Groovy Aardvarks, the Mighty Mighty Bostons.
Bostones.
Thank you, Bostones. God.
Montebello is just a great name for a rock festival, isn't it, though?
But it's
it just works perfectly.
And this started out, there's one individual, a 17-year-old kid who started this out, seriously, by himself. And
that's pretty cool.
This year, we'll be hitting 100,000 people in 3 days.
Well, I don't think I'll be heading out to watch Marilyn Manson and Alice Cooper, but I will be in Montebello at the end of August for a wedding, so I will get in touch with you and try and stop by your place and say hello.
Sure, dude. We have to meet up.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the call, Chef.
Take care, guys.
Let's take a break here, because, you know, we do that sometimes. We breathe.
Got to pay the bills.
That too. Speaking of, if you'd like to sponsor the Kaufman Show, get in touch.
By the way, spoke to Warren Cromartie.
Yes. How is Mr. Crow?
We should be expecting an answer soon.
On
that little poll they're taking, that little survey they're doing.
Excuse me, the feasibility study.
The feasibility study.
Will not be ready until the fall.
Apparently we're getting an answer soon.
We know the answer.
Okay.
Jay, I'll give you $500,000 to tell me if baseball works in Montreal.
It's make or break.
I'll give you $500,000 to tell me if baseball works in Montreal.
It's a Leger and Leger poll.
Yeah.
Doing.
Yeah. We know the answer.
Why are you so angry today?
Why do you
what
think
is your
I'm
problem?
Angry? Why do you think
I'm... You want to come sit in this chair and I'll go sit over there?
I'm angry?
You want to come sit
you
in this
think
chair?
I'm angry?
I'll go sit in that chair.
I'm trying something. We'll see if this works, okay?
You're listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 690.
Catch. I said, I got no money, man. He said, that ain't necessary.
Thank you, Jimmy. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. That is the Ballad of Ray Ordonez, a song that gets a lot of play on this show. I like it. I like the video, too. You can see it on YouTube. These are the Isotopes.
because I'm still bad at what it is. I'll let it just be the good stuff.
Every song this band sings is about the great game of baseball. And they put on a show, oh man, am I excited, this Friday night at Cafe Chow's. No, Cafe Chaos. 2031 Rue Saint-Denis. They're on a bill with the Broadcats, the Dumb Adults, the Old Wives, Alley the Band, Warm Needles, the Dead Presidents, and of course, the Isotopes. Here is the Mickey Mantle of the Isotopes. I don't want to call him the Ray Ordonez because he's got too big a bat.
So you're saying he drinks a lot?
No, I'm saying this guy hit a 470-footer at Griffith Stadium. It's the ball still traveling.
Okay.
It's Evan Wansborough from the Isotopes. Hello, sir.
Wow.
How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Joining us from the great state of Wisconsin right now, correct?
I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. I've never been to Madison, so that's exciting.
That's a big college party town from what I've heard.
Yeah, I have heard the same. It's kind of that crowd at the show tonight.
Yeah, how was the show tonight?
We haven't gone on yet. I'm going to go on in about half an hour.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so this is a late, much like in Montreal, you guys are on the stage at midnight on Friday.
That's right.
And now, someone who's looking for a baseball experience, someone like me in this town who doesn't get enough baseball, they're going to get their fill along with some really good music on Friday night, right?
Yeah, we like to try to put on a show that is not similar to a normal rock and roll show. We like to kind of, like we do with every other facet of the band, branding and creatively, it's just putting a tasteful touch of both rock and roll and baseball into our performance and every other thing that we do. And, you know, we always try to make it fun and make it unique. And we also try to do it different every night so we don't bore ourselves, too, which is important.
It's really cool that you guys are part of this festival. A lot of huge bands playing at the Pooza Fest this year, the premier punk festival in Eastern Canada. And it's exciting to have you guys be a part of it. I want you to tell us a bit about where your love for baseball came from.
It's just a product of admiring the way guys play when I watched them when I was younger. I don't know how I got into it, I just started playing when I was younger, and it's interesting. It's a head game, you know. It's a physical game of chess, and it's never played the same way, and you never know what to expect. And in that way, it's kind of unique. It's not like any other sport. Anything can happen.
And you try
like punk rock.
You try and bring that vibe to the stage.
Exactly. It's exactly the same.
Which is pretty damn cool, man. I want you to give, you've got a minute and a half before we got to go to break, but I want you to tell us, really sell us on this show. Tell us about the Isotopes. I think a lot of people are opening their eyes to what you bring. We've had you on the show a few times. You were one of the top 50 for the MLB Fan Cave this year, which helped you really break out across North America. And this is your first show in Montreal in a long time. So here you go. You got a minute now. Sell us on it.
Yeah, this is actually our debut in Montreal. We hadn't been there before. And it's you're going to come out and you're going to see some guys on stage that are, you know, we're going to bring it all. We're going to come out and we're going to define baseball punk for you. And if that piques your interest in any way, then you got to come out to the show because, you know, we're traveling across the country right now and we're opening the eyes of a lot of people, a lot of juice heads across here. It's like we're bringing them a faith, to something to believe in, you know, for these guys across the country who are into baseball and punk rock. So if that's where you're at, then you got to come check out the show because it's like Tony and Tina's wedding, but for baseball fans.
Well, there you go. You sold me. I've got a little bit ways to go on the punk side, but I'm 100% with you on the baseball, and I cannot wait for Friday night, Evan.
All right, well, thanks so much for having me on, Dave.
No worries. We'll see you there. Get the tickets at PoozaFest.com. That's with two Zs, PoozaFest.com. The Isotopes, Evan Wansborough. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good night.
Catch you soon. See you on Friday. There he goes. When the Kaufman Show returns.
I like some heavy music combined with baseball. That's right up my alley, baby.
Damn straight, man. After the break, we'll be joined by Michael Angles. Talk about a really cool charity bike ride that, well, as we said, Jay couldn't bike the Vatican City, and I don't think I could bike from the bottom to the top of Vendôme, so... We'll talk to someone who knows what he's doing and for a really good cause as well. Not all Leafs bashing on the Kauffman Show.
No, no.
We bash other things too. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show. Just to get you ready for June 9th. Kind of excited, what can I say? That is Some Girls by the Rolling Stones. We are back on the Kauffman Show. You know, there was another Game 7 tonight.
Yeah. You want to call that a...
What?
You want to call that a game, right?
Do you think they're rioting in Washington right now?
No, they're used to what happened tonight. Just... 35 years of torment. That's all. That's a team I feel for.
Hey, there was torment in Manhattan from 1940 to 1994.
Yeah. Yeah.
Torment's all relative, though.
But they had already, I mean, they had won a Stanley Cup. It's, you know, teams like Washington, Buffalo, St. Louis.
Vancouver.
These are teams that I root for. Those are the teams that I root for. I feel bad for them. The Cubs, no, forget it.
Lost cause.
Nobody in the National League.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're hardcore, Mr. Ferrer.
I am hardcore.
Every once in a while, you throw that curveball and you show me that you're a tough SO something.
No forgiveness.
Let's bring in our next guest. His name is Michael Engels. I've known him since childhood. And not the first Engels on the Kauffman Show.
No, that's right.
No, the oldest Engels on the Kauffman
Brother
Show.
Brother Eric is here.
What? No, Brother Eric is not.
Was here.
Yes.
Was here. That was the night I almost forgot that he was supposed to be. This is my first night hosting, and I forgot about poor Eric. He forgave me, though. Such a jerk.
Well, you.
Yeah.
Right, not him. Let's just be clear about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he's listening, because his brother Mike is in studio. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you?
Good to be here. Thanks.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. You're doing something that's really neat. You are the founder and organizer of the Holy Land Ride for Hearts.
Yeah, that's right. The ride is happening the first week of October. It is a five-day ride from across a full country. It's a small country.
But it's still a full country.
It's a full country.
It's still a country. Yeah.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to cross a country. It's a small country of Israel. And you start in the north near the border of Lebanon and Syria and make your way all the way down to the south, which borders Egypt.
Now, you are doing this to raise money for an organization called Save a Child's Heart.
It's an amazing organization, Dave. Save a Child's Heart is an international organization. They're based in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Canadian branch. They built themselves a hospital near Tel Aviv, and they staff it with some of the world's foremost heart surgeons. And they fly in children from all over the world to provide the life-saving heart surgery that they need.
How did you find out about this?
It's a good question. We sort of came up with the idea for the ride. It started with the ride. We're cyclists, the committee and myself, and that's four Montrealers, myself, J.J. Pfeiffer, Jeremy Engelberg, and Marin Madoff. And we decided we wanted to do this ride, and we thought, well, it'd be great to raise money for some charity. And we started doing a search. We spoke to a lot of people. One of the committee members' girlfriends had done work for this organization in Israel. She's a doctor. She referred us. We went to go meet with them in Toronto, and we were so impressed. I mean, the money goes to a really amazing place, and the money goes right towards saving the lives of children.
They perform over 230 surgeries annually, and as it says on your website, their greatest achievement is that all of the children, regardless of race, religion, gender, or financial consideration, are treated with the finest medical care possible.
Yeah, well, one of the things is, in Israel, it's one of the few countries in the Middle East, they have socialized medicine. So the children in Israel don't actually need this kind of outreach or support. So they fly in children from all over the world. I mean, mostly, third world Africa,
mm-hmm.
But also many parts of the Middle East. About half the children that receive the surgeries are Palestinian. And they come from all over, whoever really needs it.
So if somebody wants to get involved in this right now, there's still the opportunity to actually cycle and be a part of it from that side as well, right?
Absolutely. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, the timing is good now.
Early.
It's early. You got a few months to train. And, we're looking
I'll get started right away.
Yeah.
We're looking to recruit riders. And you can feel free to join us. It sounds like an ambitious ride, and it is.
Well, over how many days are you doing the 550 kilometers?
It's spread over 5 days, but we've divided into several groups. We actually have a group for non-riders, so you don't have to ride at all. You can just come on a tour and come on a holiday and raise some money. Then we have a next group, which is for what we call leisure riders. That's taking it easy. That's your 40, 50, 60 kilometers a day. Which is spread out. You know, you have a morning session and an afternoon session. You do some touring and some sort of sightseeing in between. And then you have the third group, which is more the advanced riders. So that's people who are doing 100-plus kilometers a day
and
climbing
that's you,
hills.
Right?
We'll see. We'll see how my training goes this summer. We'll see if I can stay away from the poutine and everything.
But, are you a big-time cyclist?
I got into cycling 4 or 5 years ago. It's something that I never imagined that I would really enjoy. My dad gave me a bicycle, and I started riding it. I also haven't had a bicycle for I haven't had a car for 6 years.
Ah.
So it's been my primary mode of transport. And as Bixi sort of came into the city, I really got into cycling. And it's been a great way to stay in shape and get around at the same time.
Well,
I really enjoy it.
It seems to be going through a renaissance in North America right now. Yesterday there was this huge article in the New York Times talking about how the dedicated bike lanes on certain of the avenues in Manhattan have saved lives. They've led to more commerce in the shops. There are very few downsides to having more people on bikes.
It's a really popular sport. It's growing in popularity. People are saying it's sort of the golf of our generation. And in fact, I've seen invitations from a few of the private golf courses in Montreal. They're now offering cycling memberships at the golf course.
Really?
They have access to some back roads, some flat roads, and you get club privileges and...
Interesting.
Cycling is great unless you have to turn left on Fort from Maisonneuve. That's the only time when it sucks and you're in a car.
Well, that's the thing. It's the ability. It's, you know, and I'm guilty of that, driving my car and getting angry at a cyclist for, I don't know if they're not obeying the rules or they're not being considered.
Well, it's because they haven't worked out the traffic laws for cyclists in the city yet. They put the bike paths down, but it's not only dangerous for the car, it's dangerous for the person coming in, you know. But anyway, that's a whole different show.
Yeah, and to very quickly talk about that, I appreciate when somebody who is cycling in an urban area uses their hand signals.
Yes.
To me, that is...
And the red lights.
I mean, to be fair, I also appreciate it when somebody in the city who's driving a car uses their turn signals. So, you know, we all have a lot to work on.
It's kind of the same way, you know, every winter when you get the drivers out there for the first snowstorm, it's all of a sudden people forget how to drive.
That's right.
Well, bicyclists in this city, we're not riding for 6 months out of the year. So in the springtime, when we get out there, we also have to learn.
Yeah, but it's like riding a bike. Come on.
Oh, jeez.
All right. On that note, why don't you tell people how they can get involved?
Sure. Well, there's a couple ways. If you're interested in riding, go to holylandride.com. You can register in two easy steps. You know, just fill out a form. You can call me. My number is 514-777-1770.
Also help if you're looking for a condo on Crescent Street, correct?
That's true, yes.
What was that number again?
It's 514-777-1770.
Well done.
holylandride.com. If you don't want to ride, if you don't want to go to Israel to have the best experience of your life, you could also make a...
Oh, guilt trip, eh?
You can make a donation.
If you don't want an awesome time, we'll stay here, you know? But that's a good part about what he's doing, though. You don't have to ride on the bike.
Right.
Listen, a tour of Israel from top to bottom doesn't sound like a bad time to me. And doing it for charity? Excellent.
Jay Farrar.
See, I'm being nice today.
The nicest guy in radio.
Well, I'm not going to start bashing Israel. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it?
You wouldn't be the first.
Yeah.
We'll be joined by Dave Zirin next for the counterpoint.
Yeah. Jeez.
Sorry, Michael. We were talking about how else to get involved.
That's pretty much it. I mean, at this point, we'd really love riders to sign up. We have 8 riders. Our goal is to get to 15.
Okay.
Each rider needs to raise about $3,000. Between now and October, we'll even give you a grace period of a little while after. It is an ambitious thing. It's a serious thing. This is not the kind of trip that's going to appeal to everybody. But if you're into cycling, and you're into traveling, I can't think of a better way to spend your first week of October.
And, you know, helping children.
And that.
Yeah. That helps, too.
Michael Angeles, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck with this, and please keep in touch throughout the summer and let us know how it's going. And if there's anything we can do short of cycling, we'd be more than happy to help.
Got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back in a few minutes on The Kaufman Show with Vancouver sports comedian Torben Rolfson.
Listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Not hear that song on June 22nd.
Why not?
On the Lachine Canal.
Why not?
It's a Leafs song. It doesn't get played in Montreal.
Oh.
But the Tragically Hip will be back in our
Maybe
town.
Now it will.
I have, as you know, I've been to several Tragically Hip concerts in my day, and I have never heard this song played in Montreal, not once. I'll have to check the files, but I think I'm right. Something about singing the line, the Leafs won the cup, probably won't fly too high in Montreal. I could be wrong. Prove me wrong, Gordy. Gord Downie, famous Bruins fan, is happy tonight.
Is he a Bruins fan?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You would think he's a Leafs fan. The only hint that the casual fan would get would be the Bruins jersey he's wearing in the Courage video.
Mm-hmm.
But his godfather is Harry Sinden.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah. It would make sense that if your godfather was the GM of the Bruins in 72 when Bobby Orr scored the goal, that you might have been out celebrating in your driveway.
Influence.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. If your brother played for the Dallas Stars, you'd probably be a Dallas Stars fan.
No, I wouldn't.
No?
No.
You'd just be a fan of your brothers?
Not even that.
No.
No.
All right, good. Good to see I got the old Jay Farrar back just in time for Torben Rolfson.
Change the song to Feels Like 99.
Feels like Brett Hall's in the crease.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our next guest. He is the Vancouver sports comedian. You can catch his stuff on The Province, on Vancouver Sports Radio as well, and every week on The Kaufman Show. And we're going to try things out a little differently this week because Torben did not send me the set list in advance.
So you don't know
how... Normally, I know what he's going to touch on.
Right.
Like he'll say, I'm going to talk about golf, or I'm going to talk about... And it allows me to deal with, you know, do a little segue. Like, when there's that day...
Yes, yes.
I'm like, so, what's next? I hear you want to talk about the NLCS.
Well, maybe after Game 7 tonight, he had to do a little rewriting anyway.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Wow, we both screwed that one up. Possibly and possibly. On that note, what could possibly go wrong? Let's bring in Torben Rolfson. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy and laugh at his jokes on The Kaufman Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. That's a way better intro than I got at the Kino Cafe last Tuesday.
What happened last Tuesday?
Here's what happened. We delayed the show until the hockey game ended. Then they switched off the TVs, and it was literally, the Canucks lose in overtime and get swept out of the playoffs. Please welcome your host and MC tonight, Torben Rolfson. I've heard about stuff like that happening to comedians, but I had never experienced it.
Oh, goodness. That reminds me of Homer Simpson at the Mr. Burns roast.
Yeah, there you go.
They make an announcement that a cute dog has been hit by a car right outside, and now the comedic stylings of Homer Simpson. You horrible man!
And speaking of Gordon Downie and the 72, the Bruins, anyway, fireworks. They
exactly.
Some references. That's a great song, great lyrics, and that touches on that.
Caught up in an eternal flexed arm hang. What's going on this week, Torben?
Well, it's ironic that during the exact hour that Chris Hadfield dropped through the atmosphere tonight, it was Leafs fans that couldn't breathe.
Nice. I knew we were hitting late jokes. These are timely, ladies and gentlemen. Timely.
Did some rewrites.
Scribbling them down 20 minutes before the call. at the World Hockey Championships in Helsinki Thursday, France defeated Russia. Well, that only took 200 years.
Yes!
Blue Jays pitcher Jay Happ receiving get well wishes from all over. Angel Hernandez sent him a note saying he hopes his foot is better soon.
Good.
Beauty.
Good.
And updated sabermetrics for the Red Sox Clay Buchholz. War 2.5, SPF 30.
Very good. Very good. Oh, man, you're killing it today.
Turning to basketball, great Mother's Day in the Bryant household. Kobe winning legal action to get his mom to stop selling his sports memorabilia. Isn't that the oldest anecdote in the book? My mother threw out my sports cards.
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy just surprises me at what Jimmy likes.
Jimmy has a sick sense of humor, so we don't know.
And the sixth sense. Sports memorabilia. Kobe's mom should give thanks OJ's, not her son.
Oh, who was back in the news today. I don't know if you saw him looking... Looking rough. All I could think was that Lieutenant Drebin's no longer with us, but Nordberg's alive? This is wrong.
The Seattle group upped its bid for the Sacramento Kings to $625 million.
Ooh.
That's the biggest dollar Washington attempt at a California acquisition since Microsoft bought Yammer.
Yammer.
I wonder if this latest offer will reboot the deal or crash.
we got a chuckle from Sean Coleman over here in the corner. I didn't even know he was still here. Oh boy, Coleman.
Playoffs. Derek Rose's least favorite band, Rush.
Well done.
All right.
You see, I'm just like, that's clever. which as a comedian must suck, right?
No, it's fine. Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Not funny, it's just connecting dots.
Right, exactly.
Off-season NFL, Vinny Testaverde and Chris Wenke claim they have fixed Tim Tebow's throwing motion by correcting his footwork. This is on your resume while you're looking for a job? Right above listing Joey Harrington as PR coach and Jamarcus Russell as nutritionist.
Oh, wow.
Jay's a Raiders fan.
I'm a Raiders fan. Well, I was a Raiders fan until they brought in Jamarcus Russell.
Right. Yeah.
And finally, Redskins owner Dan Snyder, he said the team will never, ever change their name. That's too bad. I think Maryland Redskins sounds way better.
Torben Rolfson, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy. We'll catch you next week.
Have a great night, guys.
You too. That was fun. Thank you, Torben. That guy, every week.
Clever.
Take my wife, please.
Please. Very clever.
I take my wife everywhere. She always finds her way home. Jimmy, let's talk for a second.
Definitely.
We're gonna bring in, we got Jimmy on the line. Jimmy on the board, welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Jay, Dave.
How are you?
Everything's well.
What makes you tick?
In
what
terms
kind
of jokes?
Yeah. Because I find we'll laugh at different things.
Some of the stuff might be a little outside of my knowledge.
Okay.
For instance, the Angel Hernandez, I really didn't know what that meant.
He blew a call last week.
And Angel Hernandez is known for blowing calls. He's probably the worst umpire in Major League Baseball. So that's why.
That's why the France-Russia one, I got that right away.
Brilliant.
Beautiful job.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Got the historical,
a winter aspect in it.
Yeah.
We were set.
And the Microsoft Yammer, I didn't get all of that. I really didn't.
Yammer is an old, it's an old type of, it's one of those defunct websites, I believe. You know,
I remember there used to be, I don't know what radio station it was, but somebody would come on, tell a joke, and then there'd be a, and it might have even been Ted Bird at the old place back in the day.
Yeah.
This joke is funny because, and they explain it.
So yeah.
Is that what we're going to have to do now?
We might have to.
Well, I like what Torben Rolfson brings, and this is the Kaufman Show, so we're going to keep doing
it. Okay. You're the boss.
Awesome. Well, I think I see you laugh too, Jay. It's just, occasionally, I feel like Jimmy is the leader in here on that. Because
Jimmy is. Jimmy decides.
Well, you're the one that gets to decide what's funny.
He's the decider.
Well, it's my hand on the button, so yes, I suppose it is me that decides.
Ba-dum-ts, Jimmy.
That's right. We're going to take a little break right now. Actually, no, we've got Steve from Redondo Beach on the line, and we like Steve, so we will not make him wait through a commercial.
No.
And we will say hi to a friend that we call Expo. Hello, Steve.
Or Expo.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having an opening act on before me.
Oh, always. Always.
It's quite a remarkable night. You have Matthew Ross on.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at Jonah on ESPN tonight. I don't know where to go first, but my loyalty is always with you, so I called in.
I appreciate that. And Aaron, baseball tonight on ESPN doesn't take calls, but hey.
That's true. That's true. At least not yet. Maybe Jonah will change that up. He put in a good plug for Tim Raines tonight.
That's pretty cool.
And Kurt Schilling backed him up. Here's my baseball take on the Leafs loss tonight. As far as I can see, that's good. Now maybe the Toronto media will write more about baseball and specifically more about our event or something about our event on July 20th. With so many ex-Montrealers living there, it would be nice to get some of them out too.
Well, the last year's got a lot of press. I don't think there's any concern about the Toronto media. I mean, Rich Griffin from the Toronto Star sat with us last year. John Lott came over to the section. McCormick from Sportsnet was there. Todd Callis from Tampa Bay Fox came over to the section to do a live stand-up.
Mm. And the more the Blue Jays suck, believe me, they'll be writing about them.
What is needed? What is needed, Expo? Asses in seats. It's
right,
that simple. People wearing Expo stuff and raising a ruckus, 200 fans last year were louder than the 20,000 Jays fans. Imagine there are 500 fans. Imagine 1,000 Expos fans show up for this game.
Well, I'm hoping for 1,000, and my point is we need to get media coverage in advance so that the people that live in Toronto that are from Montreal will know about it and put their asses in the seats.
Well, you may be talking to the right guys there, Expo, because we have a few connections in the media.
Are you going to be?
We'll get it done, buddy.
Are you going to be flying in from L.A. for it?
Yes, I have purchased my ticket and
Whoa.
My airline.
Good man.
How
man.
Cool is that?
Good
oh,
man.
I look forward to meeting you, Steve. That'll be really fun.
You've never met him before.
No, have you?
Yeah, of course I have.
At McLean's.
I got out the bar. One last thing, Jay. I disagree with you on having the Blue Jays in town. Given that there's no, the stadium may not be ready, I think the risk is just too high that it could turn out to be a complete fiasco.
Well, either way, it would be a fiasco. But
I know, right? I know you love chaos.
No, but I agree that there is no there's no venue for it. I understand that, but I'm saying all things being perfect, had the stadium still been ready for baseball, if it was in a different location, I mean that's for a team in itself. But let's say we had the proper venue, even a 10,000, 15,000 seater that happened to be on the outside of the city. I think it would work out. I think it'd be a great idea, even if it was just a spring training game. Fly them up here for one game, do it, then go back.
Maybe, but let's not go near the Olympic Stadium and relive that nightmare.
No, I agree with that.
There are too many from the Expos side. There are too many things that could go wrong.
Exactly.
And from the Blue Jays side, I think it opens them up to a world of speculation that they're not ready to face.
It's risky, but it's also a good way to see how the public would react. Because, you know, we're surrounded by people who love baseball, who are big Expos fan. I mean, that's in the group. But, I mean, have you ever traveled to the East End? Have you ever traveled up to St. Leonhard or out to places outside the city like Laval, Northern Laval, St. Eustache, Mirabel, places like that? Ask them what they think about getting a baseball team back. You get more of an idea if you bring a major league game here in town. You'll be more of a logical poll.
I don't know, Jay. bringing baseball to San Juan, Puerto Rico, didn't put a baseball team there, and playing an exhibition game.
I'm saying gauging the population, seeing what kind of demographic shows up.
Better chance of the Jays playing an exhibition game in Vancouver than Montreal.
Oh, definitely.
Way better.
They've got a venue.
BC plays.
Yeah, yeah. Vancouver Canadiens.
No. Nat Bailey's a single A stadium, Jay.
But how many people?
5,000.
But if it's a spring training game, they get 5,000 in Florida anyway, so it doesn't matter.
They're not going to move the whole game here for 5,000.
No, I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so. Can you imagine the optics, Steve, of them playing it at the Big O and 12,000 people showing up?
That's the risk. That's the risk. Horrible. But at least you'll get an answer.
Yeah, but maybe not the one
we want. At least you'll get an answer.
Maybe not the one we want.
No, I know. And the risk is that the press all over the United States and wherever else that may be following a game will jump on that thing in a second. In a New York minute, they'll jump on that.
Expo, so, I'm really happy that you're going to be joining. That's fantastic news. I look forward to meeting you on July 20th in Toronto.
All right, same here.
Thanks so much for the call.
Bye.
Have a good night.
You're in a good mood now because finally a caller disagrees with me and agrees with you.
You know what, Jay? I've been in a good mood all night.
All right. Now it's my turn.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I am passing the hangry baton
back to where it's supposed to be.
That's right. In its rightful place. Jimmy, I think Jay needs a break. He's got to breathe a little. Poor Leafs fan, Jay Farrar. So upset.
Whoa. Well, you really want to get me going, don't you?
This is The Kaufman Show. Follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show, KAUFMAN. Jay is at J Pub Radio. Three things I like a lot.
Love is blindness. I don't want to see. Won't you wrap the night around me?
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
After midnight, we don't let it all hang down. After midnight, we don't chug a lug and shout. Stimulate some action. We gonna get some satisfaction. We gonna find out what it is all about.
What it is all about.
After midnight, we gonna lay it all hang down.
After midnight,
after midnight, after midnight, we gonna shake your tambourine.
After midnight, after midnight,
after midnight, so go be peaches and cream. Talk and suspicion. We gon' give an exhibition. We gon' find out what it is all about.
What it all about? What it all about?
After midnight, we gon' let it all hang down.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman. That's Jay Farrar.
That's me.
We do this little show every week on Monday nights.
It's a little shindig.
That's right, and it's fun.
It is fun.
We're coming up on 2 years, Jay.
Is it? Really?
In July.
My God.
We're coming up on 2 years of the Kaufman Show.
Huh.
Time to make a move, my friend.
What do you want to do?
I want to do more.
You want to do more?
I want to do more.
We can do more.
I think we should do more.
We can do more.
I think we get some of the best guests in radio. I think we have a hell of a time week in, week out on this show. We laugh, we think.
We cry.
Occasionally.
Occasionally. You do. Anyway. You softy, you.
I am Milhouse Van Houten, and this is The Kaufman Show. And it's a pleasure to be here every single Monday night at 11 o'clock. As well as on thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. Wow, we are racking up the hits on there, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because of our time slot, it's hard for a lot of people to listen to us.
That's right.
So,
that's right. But if you like what you hear,
yeah, it's accessible.
And you want to hear more, time to make yourself heard. Let's go to the phones. 514-790-1690. If you're out of town, you know this is a Bell Media organization, right?
So it is.
Well, Bell, Ma Bell. I got the ill communication. Ma Bell.
Whoa, whoa.
I think you should, you know, call on our dime, not on your own. So if you're out of town, it's 1-866-896-2546. Store it into your cell phones, people. And let's go to Travis in Asheville, North Carolina. Howdy, Travis.
Hello, Dave and Jay.
How are you, sir?
Not so bad, you know.
Well, you're not a Leafs fan, so you're okay, right?
No, I'm not a Leafs fan, in the least. Although, you'd be surprised where they are down here.
No, you know what? I would figure that if an American is a hockey fan and just sort of willy-nilly a hockey fan like just like that, they're going to cheer for the Habs, the Leafs, the Bruins, the Rangers, the Blackhawks, the Red Wings, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a whole ton down here, but I mean, there's actually a lot of Ontario transplants in the area.
Oh, okay.
And, more than once, I've had the Habs gear on, and they're all friendly down here, but...
Can you go to like a local bar in Asheville, North Carolina on a playoff night and watch a hockey game,
no,
or is the NBA just on?
Well, it's not even the NBA, really. I mean, at this point, they probably have ESPN post, you know, off-season NFL on.
Sorry, Tim Tebow's found his footing.
You know what's funny? You know, last week, my brother drove in from L.A. Took him 5-6 days to go across the United States. He did it alone. He said it's one of the greatest things he's ever done.
Oh, I didn't know he was by himself. That's great.
He was by himself.
Oh, wow.
He ends up in Nebraska when I believe it was game 3 was taking place between the Senators and the Canadians, and had nowhere to go because there happened to be a Cornhusker game at the same time.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
But he walked by a bar and by luck saw that they were playing the Penguins and the Islanders game.
Okay.
Went in and asked them if they could get the Ottawa Senators and Montreal Canadiens game. And they said, who? And he said, do you get NBC Sports or CNBC? And they said, yes, we do. Can you please put it on that? They said, okay, this is the game you're looking for? And he had his own little TV.
Amazing.
And, yeah. And that was the game the Canadiens won, too. So he couldn't really cheer. He was kind of, because he was by myself, he'd look like a crazy person.
Oh, I don't know.
But he's sitting there in a corner clenching his teeth like,
I have been that crazy person.
Yeah.
All it took was
you're Expos that guy.
If there was an Expos game on TV and I was in London, Ontario, sitting at the bar,
would understand what you're cheering at. He was in Nebraska.
Yeah.
It's a completely different story.
Nebraska fans are supposed to be crazy, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I know, but, you know. It reminds me of that guy who goes to movies alone. You know, you always see that guy in the theater.
Yeah.
Just sits down. He makes a thing out of it. He's got popcorn and stuff. And it just,
oh, yeah, because who the hell gets popcorn in a movie?
Makes
right?
me nervous.
That's insane.
Well, when you're alone, what's the point? Yeah.
Well, hold on now. Having seen movies by myself in the past, Mr. Farrar, I used to go to baseball games by myself.
Okay. That guy.
I would even eat food at those games.
Go to a movie alone. It's
sure.
weird.
I saw Lincoln by myself.
Okay.
It was a Saturday night. I was bored. I had nothing to do. And I thought, hey, I'm going to go see the midnight showing of Lincoln.
Well, Lincoln's not really a date movie.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The old make out during Schindler's List thing, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know. It felt right at the time.
I don't trust anybody who goes to a movie alone.
What, you need friends to validate you, Jay?
No. This is not about me, Colin.
You know how many people...
It's all about that guy. Look what you started, Travis.
You know how many people are sitting listening to radios by themselves right now?
Different.
Why?
Because you're not going anywhere. You're in your house.
What if you're in your car?
It's just weird, Kaufman.
That kind of externalizing, Jay, is not healthy for you.
Travis, is he still there?
Travis, get us back on track, please.
Okay, yes, sports.
Yeah, sure, those are things. Sprots.
Yes, they are.
Let's talk Sprots.
It's pretty weird with all the relocation and franchise purchasing stuff at the moment, is it not? I mean, you have the guy who supposedly is going to buy the Coyotes said, oops, I actually have no money. Guess I can't do that. And with that amazing quote from, I believe it was an Arizona newspaper, saying you can't buy a cup of coffee with no money down, which was amazing.
That's funny. But,
and then,
I mean, the world, we know that you don't need to have money to pretend that you have money.
Exactly. No,
you can just get a quick loan for Major League Baseball, and suddenly you're fleecing Florida taxpayers out of millions of dollars.
Exactly. Or you can build a monorail. but I couldn't resist.
Well put. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, the handsome guy up in Seattle.
Yeah. $625 million.
If he's willing to cut that check, can you imagine who is lining up to just line his pockets for meteorites? It's got to be massive.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And I think the Dodgers model showed us all that meteorites is everything. Meteorites is what it's all about. And frankly, we see it in our town with the Montreal Canadiens.
Of course.
On a much smaller scale, but we see it in our town.
I pay the $100-something bucks a year for the center ice, and then that part of that goes back to the team. But
of course it does. It's we were talking about that in relation to Tampa Bay baseball not that long ago, that the media rights allow it so that you don't have to sell out your stadium anymore. You can get $12,000 a year and still make a ton of money and be profitable.
The thing is, though, it's not even, maybe even 30 years ago, before there was only network television, there was no market for extended media because it didn't exist. There was no availability for it. And they had to sell the stadiums. So they had reasonably priced season ticket packages where people were expected to go to every game. You bought a season ticket package in the 70s, you're probably going to go to a lot of games.
Sure.
These days, you sell half of them on StubHub because nobody can afford to go to the ballpark or the rink every single game because you're going to end up spending $100 on food and beer. And it makes me wonder if this is not the new model. What they're planning, what the purpose of this is basically make the in stadium, the in event, experience be something that is aspirational. Like it's the middle class vacation going to the game twice a year, and everyone else is expected to spend $100 a year on the media.
Okay, that's terrifying. That is such a scary notion. I'm so lucky that part of my upbringing included frequently going to hockey games at the Forum and baseball games at the Olympic
Stadium. Well, it's become a treat now, hasn't it? It's a treat.
It changed.
It becomes a once a year thing. It's like opening your presents on Christmas. And
to make me feel unincluded again.
Jeez. Man. God. This started when radio started, when there was a lot of teams, a lot of the owners didn't want their games to be broadcasted because they thought it would take away from their attendance. It didn't. It actually increased it by a large margin.
Where blackouts were born. Look at the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Which may be legally challenged in the States.
Really?
Yeah. The FCC may be ruling that blackouts of any kind or certain types of blackouts might not be allowed anymore. Although you have to think that if that happens, they'll find another way to do it because there's way too much money to be made in the NFL with that model.
Hmm. That's a really interesting point.
The NFL makes so much money purely based on the fact that it's fun to bet on that you have to wonder, if in 20 years, if in a generation we keep learning more about concussions and CTE, parents stop letting their kids play it and they have no talent for it, and there's a remarkably reduced talent base for it in a generation.
Speaking of concussions and CTE, Travis, before we let you go, you saw the news about Derek Bogard, right?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, New York, for those who don't know, New York Times reported yesterday that the Bogard family has sued the National Hockey League and for a wrongful death suit. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. They had filed
You're going to see more and more of that.
They had filed one against the NHLPA, which was thrown out. And now I believe that the PA is on with the Bogard family in this suit against the National Hockey League. Details are still thin as this comes out. We'll discuss it more on the show, but man, this could just be the start of something very big.
Well, of course they did know. That's this is the whole genesis of the NFL lawsuits. But they, of course, knew. All the leagues knew. There had been maybe rudimentary research, but there had been medical research nonetheless back into the 70s and 80s about concussions. So this is not new. It was just the same thing with cigarettes. In the 50s, they would say, "Oh, well, there's no concrete proof. We're going to move the goalposts."
Right.
That's what they've been doing for the last 30 years.
Travis, thanks so much for the call, man.
Cheers.
We'll catch you soon. We're running out of racetrack here on the Kauffman Show. We'll open up the phone lines for the next few minutes, and we'll invite Habs fans and Leafs fans and anyone else to call in. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. And Jay has something funny to say. I can see it in his eyes.
There's no Leaf fans going to call in. Too busy slapping horse ass right now.
as Leafs fans do, just go out at night, slap a little horse ass.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
Hope they get a horseshoe in the face. Slap a horse.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The when you factor in, and it's amazing how I kind of lost my cool off the top of the show with that, but, you know, you want to be an idiot, fine. You want to get drunk and do something stupid, fine, if you're not hurting somebody else. You know what? You're going to abuse an animal?
Yeah.
Really? Is
what they're trying to do is
gonna, the Leafs lost, so you're going to abuse a poor horse?
Yeah, well, they're hitting the horse so that the horse will take off.
Yeah,
thinking
and
that,
cause pandemonium.
Thinking it's, yeah, and thinking it's the Old West.
Right.
You know, they think that it works like that.
Buck
like,
'em, Bronco.
Yeah, where you get off
yeah.
and you hit the horse, you slap the horse, and it runs off in the beach in the distance, and you say goodbye to whatever the horse's name is. And they think that this is how it works. It doesn't work like the horses are trained. They're a little bit, they're city horses. They're a little bit different. I'm no equestrian or whatever it is.
No, you're not a big fan of dressage.
I am not.
I thought
but
you
know what?
Dressage.
You know what? I wish it would happen. I hope they slap the horse. And the horse goes like right into their own girlfriend who's on the other side of the road. Something like that. Just to say, oh, I guess I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have hit a 2,000-pound animal on the ass with a cop on top of it.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Eh? Well, I look forward to seeing. We haven't heard any more news beyond the horse petting.
The horse slapping incident. Slapping horses.
More horse whispering, less horse ass slapping.
Yes.
Please. Jay, I gotta say, I am so excited for May 26th. I don't know if you know that.
May 26th?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay.
Big day.
Hope you know a good place to live because I... Ooh, dear Lord. Because I'm looking
don't
to make a new start.
Oh, mother of God! Dear Lord!
Woo!
Excuse me?
Hello?
Dad!
Oh, my God.
Oh, there is kind of a girl here. Didn't say it was your cousin.
No, right?
Michael.
Joe.
Lindsay.
George Michael.
Lucille.
Tobias Fuque.
George.
Maybe.
Buster.
I really love you, Tobias.
Oh, Lindsay. We've got to get you to that acting class.
Hey, I just want my son to have a job where his incompetence won't be out of place.
Well, that's not a great sign.
I would love to help you. We like to pull together
watch
around here. No, you watch your back, mister.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I bet it's been a long time since you've seen your... Jerry.
I have lupus.
It's the final countdown.
This is the sign I've been waiting for.
Good luck with your night terrors. Now no one will be there to hear your screams.
Now, with this car, you... might get some stares.
I'm used to a bar with some stares.
That's right. All you need is a Netflix account, and you can watch season 4 of Arrested Development, only 10 years late.
They're releasing the entire season exclusively on Netflix?
All 15 episodes on the same day. They will all be released on May 26th.
Everybody's going to be inside.
I think
everybody likes that show. Anyway.
I think a lot of people are going to have trouble connecting to Netflix that day. I think there might be some people waiting till the 27th or 28th. I think this might be the time that Netflix finally crashes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I maybe it's just me and my group of friends, but this is the best comedy that has been on air in the last 10 years, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing makes me laugh like Arrested Development. It's got an incredible rewatch value. It's basically why I own Netflix, is to continually watch the first 3 seasons. And here it comes, season 4. Can't wait. And if you haven't seen it yet, plenty of time to catch
up. How long
up.
Has it been since it's been on the air?
I believe that the series finale for Arrested Development was during, oh God, it was the opening ceremonies of an Olympic Games. A Winter Olympic Games. So what would have been the 04 or
03? Was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Jimmy's on it. I can see him typing away. But, John, sorry, you got to turn your mic on. Well, not in my ears. It's not.
February 2006.
2006.
That would have been the Olympics in
the Turin.
Turin.
That's right. It was the opening ceremonies of the Turin Games. And I remember having to decide between watching the opening ceremonies of the Torino Olympics and the last episode of Arrested Development, and I went with the last episode.
I watched
of
none of those things that day. I don't remember what I was watching. 2006? Don't know.
Well, that's okay. Jimmy, can we take a quick commercial break and come back? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with a very special guest on the other side. So stay tuned to The Kaufman Show.
Listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar. Follow them on Twitter at The Kaufman Show and at J-Pub Radio. It's like the show, but shorter, and you don't have to hear them bickering.
Thank you, Joel. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. I'm Dave. This is Jay. And we're going to be joined by Bruce Arthur in a couple of minutes' time. Talk about Game 7. He was at the Leafs-Bruins Game 7 in Boston tonight.
Surprise guest.
That's right. And a good one, too. And we're going to go first to the phones. We've got Mike. He's been waiting on the line from St. Leonard. Hello, Mike.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just a question off the top, Dave.
Yeah.
Talking about the tragically hip like you were before.
Yeah.
And Gord Downie. I was always under the impression, you'll be able to tell me this or not, that he writes all of the lyrics. Is that true?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, so that's pretty interesting that he could write something from the point of view of a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, considering he's a Boston fan.
Well, I don't know if that was necessarily from the point of 50 Mission Cap, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily from the point of view of a Leaf fan. I think it's just a story.
Just a historical story.
It's a historical. I mean, and they do take some liberties with the dates in that story.
Yeah, I mean, for music's sake, I guess that makes sense.
In order to make things rhyme, I guess.
Well, a lot of their songs are, yeah, a lot of their songs are based on our stories from different point of views.
That's right.
You know, Bob Cajun, and it's just the
Three Pistols is about Tom Thompson. I don't know if that was necessarily his favorite group of seven artists.
Right.
But the lyrics to Fireworks, and we had a caller earlier who discussed it as well. But to me, that really resonates. That sort of sounds like when you read those words, it hits home. That sounds like a very personal story to me.
Okay.
And I love the idea of having someone loosen your grip on Bobby Orr. I love that concept. I think it's fantastic.
That's great stuff.
Mike, thanks so much for the call, man. Okay. We'll speak to you soon. Have a good night. There he goes. Love Mike in St. Leonard.
Shortest Mike call of all time.
Shortest Mike call of all time. Yeah. I mean, he's more than welcome to call back, but
we're short on time.
We're short
Nothing
on
against
time.
Mike. We love when he calls
no,
in.
My goodness.
He's almost like a third host.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mike's more than welcome to call. He's always, hey, you're all welcome to call. Everybody calls. Everybody that calls this show brings it consistently.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky about that.
Including Abe Simpson.
including Abe Simpson. Abe Simpson, week in, week out, calls right after Ron in Montreal.
Incredible the timing, isn't it?
And tells the story of the onion on his belt, and it's a fantastic story.
Great story.
And I would listen to it over and over and over, and frankly, I have that.
Yes, I think you have.
We'll use him to bust some union heads. In the meantime, let's bring in our next guest. He is the sports writer for the National Post. You can also hear him on this radio station, on The Reporters, and on TSN Toronto almost every day. When he's not on the road covering the playoffs.
He's every day and everywhere.
It seems that way of late. And he's with us right now at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we greatly appreciate it. Bruce Arthur, welcome back to the show.
Boyos, how are you?
We're okay. You must be exhausted.
I can say I have never seen anything like that. And I can say that everyone involved has never seen anything like that, because apparently no team has ever won a game when they've trailed by 3 goals in the third period of a game 7. And that's what Boston just did. And I still am not entirely sure what to say.
What's it like from a journalist's perspective when you get a feel for a game? And I mean, basically 58 and a half minutes into a 60-minute game, your story is done, is it not?
Yeah, there's a real poem I wrote once about this game. And basically what happened is the Bruins scored 2 goals in the last 82 seconds. And at that point, it was 4-2 with 90 seconds to go. The Leafs were so close. They played such a wonderful game. They really had. And I was always a skeptic about this team, but for 45 minutes in this game, they were better. And they were really good. And they were fearless. And then they started to realize that maybe they could fall. And so as a writer, what I did is I just started over. Because you got 800 words there, and you rewrite it. You rewrite it from the top down, and you try to figure out how to remake it as fast as you can. We had about 15 minutes before overtime started, so that was 15 minutes of pounding away. And you still pound into overtime, and then it wasn't that long into overtime that the Bruins scored.
Right.
And then you just try to capture it as best you can. That was a historic collapse. That was an incredible collapse. Teams don't do that. Teams don't score twice by pulling the goalie in the last 90 seconds. Teams don't come back from 4-1 in the third period of Game 7. The only thing I'd ever seen that reminded me of, and actually I asked Bing Appiah about this in the hallway afterwards, is when the Boston Bruins were up 3-0 on the Philadelphia Flyers in 2010. Mm-hmm. They'd blown a 3-0 lead in the series. They were playing Game 7 at home. They were home and dry, 3-0 in the first period, and they lost. That's the closest thing, but that was the first period. This was a 15-minute span. And in total, I believe something in the lines of 17 minutes, within 17 minutes of play, scored 4 goals. And the heart of a champion, you give them credit, they did it. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be thinking about this all summer. They're going to lie awake at their cottages listening to the crickets in the night, and they're going to listen to the loons on the lake, and they're going to daydream in their cars, and they're going to see images from this game. Jake Gardner is going to see the pass that he threw on the very last play that went right on to, like, a blind pass from out front. Right to Patrice Bergeron's stick, and he scores the winning goal. Matt Fratton's going to see the breakaway he had with about 3.5 minutes left. They could have made it 5-2. Think about that. 3 minutes left, the breakaway, he could have made it 5-2, and they lost the game. This is the defining collapse in NHL playoff history, I would argue. This is the Houston Oilers and the Buffalo Bills. This was something else.
This is, for me, I went to Bartman. And I know there wasn't a fan involved, but it had that same that I can only imagine how crushed Cubs fans were 10 years ago. And I would think that, I know it's only the first round, but there was so much hype and so much excitement. And, I mean, the crowds outside Maple Leaf Square made the ones in Vancouver a couple of years ago look tiny.
Yeah, this is what happens when you hope.
Yeah.
And then the Leafs had not given their fans a real reason to hope in 9 years, and then they did. And even when they won Game 5 and then played Game 6, I mean, there was still the notion that come back, come on, they're not going to come back to one against the Bruins. And they put it in Game 7, and they gave their fans hope, and it's such a dangerous thing. And that as a fan, that's something that the kids are never going to forget. They're never going to forget that feeling. I still remember watching the Vancouver Canucks in 1989 play the Calgary Flames in the first round, and they came back from 3-1, and they forced Game 7, and they lost in overtime because Joel Otto kicked a puck in. I still remember what it feels like. I remember the living room I was sitting in. There are going to be kids all over. There are going to be adults all over that are going to remember this game, and that they're going to remember the feeling when it ended.
Well, like you wrote about last week, all playoff games are equal, but some are better than others.
Yeah, this was an incredible game. The Boston played dirty for the first time in the series. They played like cornered animals for a while. And Toronto was really magnificent for a lot of the game. Like, they really were. But they were up 2-1 going into third, and then Phil Kessel scores and Nazem Kadri scores. High wire, they were skating. They were back-checking. They were there. They were better than Boston until they weren't. And when they weren't better than Boston, it's a lot like Game 5. Game 5 in the third period, Boston came heavy and attempted 49 shots to 6 in the third period. And Toronto held on somehow. They managed to, they cleared the rebounds away. They kept it out of danger. They managed it. They blocked the whatever. There probably was a shot labeled to the top corner of that game, and they blocked it. They blocked 20 shots in the third period of that game. In this game, the pucks got through. The pucks found their way. And that's hockey. That's how it works. And Toronto is going to have to deal with this until they play next year. And Boston gets to go on. There were people in the NHL who told you that Claude Julien was going to get fired if they lost this game. Same as when they played Montreal in the first round of the year, right. They won the Stanley Cup. He was going to get fired that year. And this is that again. This is Boston surviving again. And maybe it's a coin flip. Maybe it's the way the puck bounces. Whatever it is. But this is how it works.
We've got a couple of minutes left with Bruce Arthur from the National Post. Bruce, do you think this would be easier for the Toronto sports fan to handle if the Blue Jays were playing a little bit better right now? Or do you think this is just... like, sky is falling right now.
No, this is seismic. I mean, even if the Jays were
24-15, let's say. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I really think this one, the whole city would have stopped. I'm sure what happened in Toronto tonight. It's happened every game. The whole city stopped to watch this. Because this is game 7. They've been waiting 9 years for this. This is the longest playoff drought in the NHL. And they waited for this. And the Jays could have been playing tonight. And I don't think anyone would have known, because this was the Leafs, and this was the chance, and the bottom fell out. The bottom fell out in the most spectacular way that anybody has ever seen. And, you know, the Leafs gave their fans a lot this year. They gave them a chance to live and die with his team, and that's what happened tonight. They died with his team.
For the psyche of the Toronto sports fan, let's hope that R.A. Dickey throws a gem tomorrow against the Giants at Skydome. Oh, man. So what a rough one.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, at least the upside is maybe it puts the Jays' struggles in perspective.
Oh, well, that's actually a very good point, and maybe people realize that it's still early, and there's a lot more time between now and October to have your heart broken.
Yeah, I know. There's plenty of pain yet to come, I would say.
You're off to cover the Ottawa series, I guess?
I will be in Pittsburgh tomorrow, yes.
Good stuff. I look forward to reading your article in the following day's paper.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Bruce, thanks a lot. We'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
Have a great night. There he goes. Had to end it with a bang. Bruce Arthur, our huge thanks to Bruce for joining us at the end of it. It is a very busy night for him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What do you think the psyche is right now, though, really?
I
didn't have much time to ask him, but it's... You know, when I wrote, rather ominously, I wrote, this is going to be the longest 10 minutes... of your life. Of your playoff life, knowing because I've been able to watch my team in the playoffs over the last few years. Mm-hmm. When Boston comes back and scores, do you think a Toronto fan's going, of course this happens. Why wouldn't it happen to me?
Wait, at 4-3 or at 4-4?
Well, I mean, at 4-2, you start getting the feeling, geez.
At 4-2, you're it's still good. It's just a little waterlogged.
There's 80
at 4-3,
seconds left.
You're like, it's still good. It's just a little airborne. At 4-4, it's still good. It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
They knew even in overtime they're not going to win. Can you imagine? When something like that happens to the Canadians, you go, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened to us. But does a Maple Leaf fan go, of course this happens to me? You know what I mean? It's just...
No,
and that's why I feel bad.
I'll tell you what, Jay, I don't think, and, you know, prove me wrong, Toronto, but I don't think that the Maple Leafs fan has that defeatist attitude. Perhaps after tonight they will develop it, but I think that there's an eternal optimism, sort of like the way that the Cubs fans were always woe is me, lovable losers, and the Red Sox fans always thought they had a shot.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between...
Toronto more reflects the Red Sox type attitude.
I believe so. I believe so. That Leaf Nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a small city outside the Air Canada Center tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you could be a part of it.
Yeah.
It's round one.
Yeah.
But this would have been like a Stanley Cup final for them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we said earlier, Jay, not make the Habs go a decade without making the playoffs. You'd have the same crowd outside the
I agree. And it's gone from confetti to horse slapping.
You stay away from that horse's ass, okay?
Sorry, Toronto.
Jimmy, let's play Toronto some happy music. And Montreal, man, we've had a week to get over getting bounced in the playoffs. We're okay.
Yeah.
We just need that Bedini song to come true. Summertime. Bring it on, summer. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand. Why you moved away? We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. You saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davey and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Another Kaufman Show in the books. On behalf of Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next Monday night.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?